Okay, so Sammy Chaudhry, thanks for coming on our show, the Healthy Indian Podcast. I'd like to tell you that we're really excited to have you come on. So can you tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming the owner of Jore Magazine and how you became a community influencer? We could start there, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. So I'm actually a co-founder, right? I'm a co-founder and the CEO of Jore.
Okay.
Long story short, honestly, it really started off during the pandemic, kind of as like a little bit of like a fun little way to meet more brown people for me and my co-founder. She's based in Toronto.
Sick.
And when we started off, we were just like, how do we get the community more involved? How do we get more people involved in, say, like brown events or anything South Asian, I guess, focused? So before Jore, we actually tried to start a clothing brand called Drape Therapy, where we would link a lot of the designers and like really small time like manufacturers in South Asia, whether it was India, Bangladesh, Nepal, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, etc. And we would link them over here because it was like really low quality clothing that would cost so much, right? Like if you go to Queens or whatever. And we just thought if we can like figure the logistics out and the shipping out, we can definitely bring it in. Now the problem was we had everything up and running and it was going well. But because of COVID, shipping costs went up, factories started closing down, the designers couldn't keep up. And once we had to shut Drape Therapy down, our whole idea was, okay, so what can we do that COVID or anything can never take away? The easiest one was a digital publication, which then grew into a media company, which then grew into what it is now, a lifestyle brand. And the focus behind it is really, we see all these, like, me and my co-founder are both Bengali originally, and we see all these Bengali pages. You see a bunch of Indian pages or Pakistani-related pages, a lot of Muslim or Hindu pages, and we thought it'd be really interesting to try to get a page that combines everybody. And you have great groups like Brown Girl Mag that's out there. You have news-focused groups like The Juggernaut out there, and we thought we'd kind of emulate that but make it our own a little bit, focus more, like include both men and women. Include just everyone that we can kind of include. And so the idea came up when me and my co-founder both grew up in Kuwait, where a lot of the Indians, the Pakistanis and the Bengalis are from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, right? And so when I moved over here, the Indians that I met were Indian American, the Bengalis were Bengali American, the Pakistanis were Pakistani American.
Right.
And I would see a divide, even though they had that similarity of being an American. I would still see a difference. I would still see a lot of people didn't really communicate to each other. I saw niches in university. And I thought that was wild. Like that was the craziest thing to me because, and not to sound bad or anything, but you're not even there. Like the arguments that they have over there are like, they're still wrong, but they're real. Like there's a real border that's causing the issue. Like, you're both from New Jersey. Like, I don't understand that weird little divide that's created by yourself. Like, it just didn't make sense to me, right? So the more, I guess, I grew up and, like, the more I matured through university and a lot of my friends went to Canada or the UK, I'd meet their friends. And if they had brown friends, I started to realize that I have more similarities with an Indian from Toronto and a Pakistani from the UK than I do with Bengalis from Bangladesh. Because a lot of the similarities that we have align in the differences that we have with other groups, right? So like say when we go out and maybe our parents are cooking and the smell's really strong, like damn, do my clothes smell? Or like when we go home,
curry smell.
Right, great, like we got our ass beat, right? And like little things like that, that's like nobody can really relate with. But a Pakistani could relate to it, an Indian could relate to it, a Sri Lankan could relate to it. So to me, I thought we have so many more similarities that we should really hone in on and focus on. Through media, right? Through events, through the publication as a whole. And then our cultures have a lot of toxic traits that that we do talk about on Jore, but and something that we always tell the writer, we always tell all of our writers is once you write a piece and if you are going to talk about something, instead of trauma dumping and ending it on a complaint, offer a solution all the time, right? No matter what happens, we end with a solution just because I don't want to create that echo chamber. Because again, that's something else that I've noticed that our generation does, where we talk about like generational trauma and we talk about issues that we face, but it's like everybody's telling each other the same thing. And there's not enough men in the room either. Like in most of these events that I go to, I'm the only man present when it comes to like someone who started a social media company or someone who started something else, like, or designers or whatever. I'm like the only dude there. And I really don't like that, because I see girls talk about brown guys being toxic, which yes, brown guys are very toxic in a lot of ways, but there's no brown guy that can rebuttal or create that discourse. Because even if the guy's wrong, to have someone talk back and challenge you, that's everything. That's how you grow. And that's what Joy really does as well. And that's what we've done through our articles. We've done that through our own events. So I really do want to see growth within the community. And that's kind of how Joy started. And it is a side gig for sure.
So like, let me ask you this. What inspired you to get into Joy? Magazine. And how do you incorporate it into your daily life? Like, how do you think of ideas to move further with it, right? Because you're hitting a lot of good topics, a lot of topics, especially for men. And like you said, like, how do you keep it going, you know?
Yeah, I really think it's kind of logical. You know what I mean? When it comes to Joy, it's not difficult for me. Also, the name, I just want to say that. The reason why it's Joy is because we kind of wanted to have something in our roots. That was part of it, because we cover the entire South Asian diaspora all over the world. Our goal was to be like, well, how do we make it kind of Bengali? Instead of having an Indian or Sanskrit name or a Hindi or Sanskrit name, we were like, let's call it Jore, which means loud. Jore. It's kind of like Zorse in Hindi.
Zorse, gotcha.
Jore in Bangla, yeah. So,
oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, that's so it just really means cool. Like loud and like kind of bold. When it comes to incorporating it to my day-to-day life, it really isn't difficult. I don't really have to think about it as can this be applied to Jore? It's more like, every time I see something, I'm like, that would be dope to do, right? Right. If I see brown people doing something, I'm like, yo, I wish they didn't. Or if I saw them do something great, and I'm like, I wish more people know about that. Or if I see an influencer, or if I see someone really advocating and creating change, and they're not really well known, I'm like, let me highlight them, right? Like, let's spotlight these people. Let's encourage like good behavior. And I think that's how it really comes into the day to day. It's never something that I really have to think about. It's just something I naturally do. I don't really have a lot of brown friends before Joy. And logically, I was like, well, why don't I do something that pulls people in, right?
It's interesting that you think of this stuff, because a lot of brown people in general, they get caught up in this whole like battle between looking better than someone else, but they also see like how it's hurting our kind, right? Like, mm-hmm. being Bangladeshi and Indian from New Jersey, there's no real difference between that. But, you know, just comparing themselves to women, I feel like a lot of these guys, especially on like these dating apps and even out there, they feel inferior a little bit, man. Like, I think that's why they don't show up to these events that you go to. You're the only guy, because you don't feel inferior. And I feel like that's something that we gotta fix. And it's up to us to kind of, you know, be the solvers, yeah, and problem solvers to that issue.
And I agree. I think the inferiority complex is definitely an issue. But I think you're also like being too nice to a lot of the guys. I think as much as I love my boys, I think we just need to be better. And we need to just be told, and like, this needs to be something that's brought up, but we need to be better at really wanting to be there. Like, you can't expect people to babysit you, right? Like, brown girls go through a lot of bullshit, and brown guys go through a lot of bullshit. But recently there's been this wave where there's brown girl advocacy, and like brown girls are being uplifted by other brown women. I think that's beautiful. And I do that all the time as well through Joy. So does my co-founder. But I think I want to also advocate for brown men. And I think you can only help someone that doesn't want to be helped. So when I put out a men's mental health article, and I push it to the guys, and I know boys are reading it, it's getting less activity than a general mental health article, or it's getting less than, say, I spotlight a girl or a woman advocate who's doing, you know, really well in her field. And it's not because women care more, but it's because women put in the work a little bit more, I think. And it's just that it's like a cultural shift. Like, I need to get some of the boys to be more involved. And that's kind of like the hardest part of advocating for guys, right? So it's very easy for us. Like my entire team, except for two people, I think there's about 11 people on our team.
Right.
It's all girls except for one guy.
Yeah, like, that's insane, man.
And then we have a male writer, right? A guy writer. But it's like 10 girls on the team. We have team meetings every week. And everybody's a girl. And that's totally fine. I love my team. But it's also like I need more discourse. Like there are certain issues and things when we talk about topics or we start discussing ideas for future articles or events. And we don't, it's not like it's done on purpose, but it's very female centric, right?
Your team is a lot of females.
I think
it's not your, I mean, I get what you're saying. You love your team and it's not your, anyone's, fault per se, but it's like, if you have a team of all females and there's no like balance, I would say, to gel with boys and guys and girls, I think it becomes more female centric just naturally from the progression.
And so that's something that we had to like initially combat. Yeah. So one thing that I did with Jory was I looked through other pages and I was like, I'm not really following any of these other pages. And I questioned myself. I'm like, why am I not doing it? And how can I do it with Jory where I would? And then when I started Jory, it was great and everything. And then I would say 3 months into doing Jory, I looked again and I was like, would I follow Jory if I did not run it? Like if I was not a co-founder, would I follow Jory?
Well, that's smart.
And I wouldn't. And I told myself I wouldn't follow it. Like, I don't like I, it's not that I don't like it, but the aesthetic doesn't fit me. I don't know why I would follow it. And then I went out to like survey people that I know around New York. I know a ton of people in New York. So I'm going out and asking people, would you follow? And almost every girl that I showed it to was like, this is really cool, right? Like, I feel like this is showing the culture really well and everything. All the guys I showed it to, they're like, bro, I'll be honest with you. Like, I wouldn't. And the reason why I wouldn't is because A, B, and C. And a lot of it was the culture was shown, but it was a lot of like culture from the girl's perspective. Or it was, you know, like little things like that where, and I went to my co-founder and I was like, hey, listen, I don't think we're doing a good job representing the entire community. Like, I think we're turning into some of these other pages that cater to women. And we don't want to cater to any one gender, right? And this is why I love my co-founder, where she was so receptive to that. She was like, that's exactly what I see as well. Like, we're definitely very girl oriented. And she's like, what do you think we should do? And we had a separate meeting on just how to create this and how to move forward. And she's the creative director. Like, she absolutely does.
Wonderful.
Our social media. So she was like, what should I do? Like, what should we do to move forward to make sure that we're aligned with what we want to be and what we initially planned to do? And kind of now, if you look at our page, we're very much aligned with that. I think it's a beautiful page. We cover everything we want to cover. We cover all of our topics and everyone feels included. There's never a look and everyone's like, this is more women oriented, like never. Right now it's very, unbiased. Another thing that we do is we try to cover every culture. I think not everyone does that. When I learned about Caribbeans growing up in the Middle East, I never even heard of those people. Right. And then I learned about Indo-Caribbeans in Guyana, Trinidad, and Jamaica and stuff. Bro, I lost my mind. I was like, there's no way they're real. Like, how's that a thing, right? And I lived in Colombia for a little bit, for about a month and a half. And I was in Medellin.
Oh, wow.
And I met brown people down there, too. And I was like, what are you doing here? And they're just like, you know, they've been here for generations. Like, they've just been there, right? And, like, same thing in Paraguay. And I went to university with someone from Panama. And she's Mansi. Her name is Mansi. She's literally a brown girl in Panama, killing it.
Panama, but, living in Panama.
Like, she's Panamanian. And the other girl's from Paraguay. Like, there are people from South and Central America that are brown. They don't know how, like, they know how they got there, but they're just fully from that country, but they're also brown. So my idea was, all right, so I'm representing you guys too. Like, no one is being left behind with Joy. Like, we need to represent everybody. We need to create discourse. We're the children of immigrants, and that's always hard. It's extremely hard to be an immigrant. You can't expect our parents to do everything for us. They're already, you know, sacrificed everything to get here, right? And then we have to put in the work as children of immigrants, whether we ask for it or not. We got to put in the work to make sure that, one, we assimilate, but two, we hold our culture to ourselves, and three, we stay strong, right? No matter what faces us. Like, we have to, if anything, work together. And that's kind of what we stand for now. And that's why I wanted to pivot to a lifestyle brand where we're not just taking photos of events and running events. We're not just putting out articles, right? But now we're actually trying to make a difference in the lives of everyone that follows us and takes part in us. This community is dynamic and it's evolving and it's ever growing. So that's really the approach.
And do you want like more, I guess, involvement from the men in a sense where they take more of an interest in it? Or would you like to see like what they would like for Jore would like to post? Like, is there like something you're maybe working on in the behind the scenes almost? Like maybe we should post like something that caters to just men to get them involved? Or is this something that you're going to bring on people on board to like kind of assist you with that? Because that's interesting, man. I mean, it can go more verticals, right? Because you're already having a lot of coverage from one standpoint. But I feel like the other standpoint, you can definitely hit those missing gaps, you know?
Mm-hmm. I've always thought about going the extreme one way to get a few people coming in. Mm. But I don't think that's the way to do it. It's a great idea, and I've thought about it too. But we've tested this with engagement. And it's like, guys, it's getting guys to the organization is me and my co-founder's job, right? And I take it upon myself even more being the man of the two. I feel like it's I understand men. I should take on that role a little bit more. But when it comes to that, it's more like it's not the guy's job to be interested, right? If you look at any company in the world, you can never expect interest from people. Interest is earned, right? So how it focuses, like how do I gain the interest, not how do I get the interest? And I don't think going the extreme one way is going to help. Like a men's mental health focused article, absolutely, we do stuff like that. But catering to only men for say like a month, I would never do that, because I think that takes away from our women followers. And I think I really want to continue to advocate for them, even for like when something is women focused, like Women's History Month or whatever it might be, we still incorporate articles that are neutral or regular or even men focused during that time, while still advocating for women fully throughout the entire month. Like we never really take away from one to give to another. That's not really how it works, because I don't ever want to have to succumb and like deal with that and go back to that when we're a lot bigger. I want to continue like organically and just let it happen, because we've had I think it was like an 87 or something increase, a percent increase in male followers after our first event. Wow. When that event had seven or eight women speakers that were amazing, they were killing it. The event was called Don't Tell Auntie, New York City's Best Kept Secret. And it was lit. We got like we had this restaurant opening, and it's called the Monkey King. We had them come in, okay, cocktails and serve some food. We got a loft in Brooklyn. It was super dope. And the girls that came to speak were like killing it. They were on fire. They were starting their own businesses, or they were influencers, whatever it may be. And a lot of guys showed up. And I think one reason is because the girls are very pretty. That might be the reason why the guys showed up.
Aesthetics and stuff, yeah.
But a lot of the guys showed up that I didn't even know. I knew all of the girls. Like, they all follow Joy. They reached out to me even. I didn't know any of the guys, but I was really happy that they showed up. And a lot of the guys showed up and listened to all of these women speak. And after listening to them, they had a ton of questions. And they even asked me, they were like, bro, why did you do? And this event was the first time that I really physically met all of our followers, or a bunch of our followers. And a lot of them like thought I was gay. And because they were like, why are you doing this?
Like crazy, dude.
Who would do this? Yeah. Like if you're straight. And once they meet me, you know, like I'm a straight dude. Like I'm a guy's guy. So it's very apparent that I'm straight. So once someone meets me, they're just like, I remember the first event, they're like, bro, I honestly thought you were gay. And I was like, what made you think I was gay? And like, I don't dress well enough, bro. Like to give you that feeling. I'm like, what makes you think I was gay? And they were like, well, because you run Joy, like you advocate for women, like the page is very strong. Especially at that time, like I was telling you, it was very women-centric.
I see what you're saying. Right? Yeah.
It wasn't even what I wanted to be at. So it was very focused on women. So they were just like, yeah, I generally didn't know that you were straight. And I was like, you're wild, bro. Like, but that's the degree of like how little men are in the field. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you gotta be gay. Like there's no way you're
really straight. So it's like not even like a thought in them, like, oh, it's just like women oriented. It's, there's no way this dude is like one of the co-founders. Like they didn't even think like a
possibility. Yeah, they just thought it was a wild idea. And it was about four guys. That one event, four guys told me that. And I was like, come on, bro. Like, but now after they saw me do it, they were like, bro, why are you doing it? Like, if you're interested, I want to be interested. And we got mad followers off of that, like guy followers, because they were like, if Sami's doing it and Sami's just like me and he cares enough and he's interested in this stuff and he's doing dope shit, like, let me take a stab at it. Let me like read his stuff. Let me look at it.
Dive into it.
And I've gotten so many DMs from guys being like, bro, this is dope. Like, this is so interesting. When's your next event? Can I come to other events? Can I do this? Can I do that? And a lot of guys even told me, like, bro, you know what? I've been toxic as fuck. Like, a lot of guys are like, bro, I did this to a girl one time. And I'm like, that you're an asshole. But, like, you're learning. Like, it's okay.
You're aware now. You're aware. You can learn.
Yeah. I think, Umang, you can say too, like, we've all treated people incorrectly. It is what it is. You know, we live and we learn.
Good to fess up to that once in a while, right? Like, the sweet, but sometimes good to fess up to your wrongdoings.
You have to, bro. I don't want people to listen to this podcast and be like, yo, Sami's an angel. I'm not. Fuck this. Like, I want people to know that, like, I wasn't aware.
We're all assholes, or we've been.
Nobody's perfect, guys or girls. Nobody's perfect. And if my co-founder is here, she would tell you how much I changed even since I started Joy, just listening to stories. I think storytelling is so powerful.
Yeah.
And listening to so many stories, so many like women tell me their stories, so many men tell me their story. You can't not learn. Like, you have to be super ignorant and super stubborn to not take things from people and be like, you know what? You're so right. Like, you're so correct. I need to be better. I can be better. And there's no other option, right? Like, that's just like how it goes. And a lot of people have like toxic parents too. I'm very lucky that my parents have like a really healthy, great relationship, have taught me great things. But a lot of people don't really have the best parents to show them what's right and wrong relationship wise. So I feel for that 100%.
How was it like growing up with brown, like immigrant parents and starting this brand? Cause I know it's almost like they give you like this talk when you grow up saying be an engineer, doctor, lawyer, right?
Yeah.
How did you kind of like show them that, hey, I'm going to start this brand and make it a somewhat of a thing? Because being an influencer, almost like being your own boss, is a little, you know, out of character, which is cool. I like it. I think it's dope what you're doing. And I think it resonates with a lot of people. But how did you get to that point with your loved ones and your parents?
Yeah, my parents hate this. My parents absolutely hate Joy. Like, there's no
typical brown parent.
As immigrant parents, though, they were very interesting. So my parents aren't, I don't think they're like your typical, and everyone can say that about their parents, but
Bengali parents.
Yeah. Like, my parents came from Bangladesh to Boston. Both of them worked in finance. And then my dad got recruited to Kuwait, to be like the advisor of the stock exchange out there. And he did really cool. Well. He really enjoyed finance. He loved living in Kuwait. We all did. But when you live in Kuwait, after immigrating to Boston, you're an immigrant and then you're an expat. You almost like cancel it out. Like, at that point, because in Kuwait, you're not like, so immigrant parents here, like, they have a little bit of a backwards mentality sometimes compared to white people. Mm. You take that person who's educated in the States and then worked in the States for like 20 years, then take them to Kuwait. Like, he is now the white person. Like, my dad was like the most, like, everyone's like, oh my God, you're so forward thinking and you're so smart and blah, blah. Because he was like, yeah, therapy is a good thing. And everyone's like, no way. Whereas like immigrant parents here, they're immigrants and then that's it. And they're compared to the Western people where it's like, oh wow, they're a little backwards. Oh my God, my life is so tough. Like, immigrant kids start complaining. For me in the Middle East, bro, like, my parents were pretty, like, not really immigrant parents in that way. And then moving back here, after I moved back here, my brother went to Berkeley, my younger brother. So he came, we moved to California. Then my parents moved to New York, and I'm actually traveling tomorrow. So I came to pack some stuff up. It's very interesting because my parents were not super, super, like, I didn't feel like they were like immigrant like that. They were very forward thinking. They were very pretty cool. But they hate Joy because they're like, it's blocking you from your real job. So I have a real job. I have Joy. And then I have something else that I'm doing. And then I have something else I'm trying to launch in the summer.
We have a very similar mindset, I feel like. I feel like we like going the different verticals and poking our hand at different ventures. I think it's cool.
And if you're interested in something, man, why not, right? Like, I used to work in finance. I love finance, so I started something finance related. And then I really think after working Fashion Week with Joy, after seeing Fashion Week overall, I think there are a lot of places where you can solve, there are a lot of, problems that could be solved. And not even in a negative way, just fashion in general, there's so many things that could be improved upon. So I started looking into that and I was like, why not work with designers that I met and see how people can change and how much growth you can have and how much fashion could be improved upon if I can do it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know what I mean? I stuck on my day job. What am I losing really other than time?
If anything, you're impacting and you're causing a rift in, the community. And I think that's a good thing because I think having somewhat of a thing. I mean, this year alone, goatees blew up. These weddings we go to, goatees, people wear them all the time. Before we used to just wear lengas and, just a long basic thing. But you go to these Indian and brown weddings, people wear goatees all the time. Mm-hmm. Fashion and even women
see it brown events in New York, you know what I mean? You'll see
all the time.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
No, it's definitely a thing. I wanted to talk about a little bit about your damn it. you can say the name Joray, right? So it says amplifying South Asian authenticity through a storytelling platform and lifestyle brand. What does that entail? I mean, it's is that your mission statement? Is that something that
Is that an Instagram bio? That's our Instagram bio.
Yeah.
So it is the mission statement. It's more or less what it means is it's good. It's good that you asked that. It's kind of what I talked about earlier with authenticity and I don't think I mentioned authenticity as a buzzword, but basically I was essentially saying that where I want people to really love and enjoy the culture, but understand that they can also be an American, Canadian, British person, Australian, South African, whatever it might be, but take it upon yourself to really enjoy that part of your culture, because eventually you feel like that piece is missing. At least a lot of people do. I know I did, right? So a lot of people will say me being a Bengali American that grew up in Kuwait, they would tell me I'm not an American. I'm not black or white. There's no way you're an American, right? I heard that my whole life. You're not an American, even though my passport is. I go to Bangladesh, I'm going tomorrow, and they're like, you're not Bengali. You're Bengali, but you're not Bengali. Let's be honest. You can't read and write Bangla. You speak pretty well, but you're just not. You're not Bengali like that. You're an American. Then I come to America and they're like, oh, you can be, you're both. And that's bullshit. How are you both, right? My whole life, I was like, how am I both? And some people you're 50-50. And that's where the authenticity comes from. Where you're not 50-50. You're 100 and 100. And you lean towards which one in terms of cultural practice. So I've met Bengalis that cannot speak Bangla at all, but eat rice every fucking day for dinner. Dal, bhat, that's what they eat. They have their dal, they have their fish, they have their rice, and that's dinner. But they can't speak Bangla. To me, that's OD Bengali, bro. If you eat rice every night, you're Bengali as hell. But then some people look at me and they'll be like, bro, you know Bangla so well. You speak so well, you understand it, whatever. And you cook Bengali food too. You definitely are Bengali, and I am. So I don't want people to think you're more or less Bengali because you do a certain thing. You're more or less Bengali because you feel more or less Bengali. So you are Bengali or Indian or Pakistani, but you're also an American. If you grew up in Patterson or whatever, you're still
Shout out Google Spots.
You're from Jersey. If you're from LA, you're from LA. If you're from Boston, you're from Boston. It is what it is, right? If you're from there, you also rep that too. You gotta rep both. Always rep both of your cultures all the time, right? So you have that cultural blend. It's called a third. It's a third culture essentially. It's a cultural blend that you're making up. So that's your authenticity and that authentic part of you. And we really want to help you grow that and own that and be confident in your authentic self. Diasporic storytelling just means storytelling of the people that are part of it, like you do every day, right, with your podcast. And then the lifestyle brand is this not just being a publication anymore. It's really it's really pushing people to take control of that part of their life.
No, and it's really interesting because I see like one of the posts you made, and I know we were talking about authenticity and, you know, different kinds of, you know, cultural shifts. So I looked at Linthul Chanambam. So it's India's first judo world champion, and she has origins to Japan, which is pretty sick. Like, it's sick, you know, being Indian, being part Japanese or part from Japan, and then also being like some kind of like judo world champion, which is like fitness and, you know, able to rock, like, you know, put people down. I think that's really cool. And like, you know, I just followed you guys just or like right now. And on top of that, I'm reading through it, and it's like, I like how there's a story that's going on and how much championships and bouts she had and how old she is. So it's really cool. She's only 16 too, which is sick.
No, you know?
Yeah, and I think, yeah. And I think it'll give people motivation to not only like your brand, but also travel to Japan and see these competitions and see this person that is like a mix of both worlds. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be like pretty impactful to just, you know, get a sense of exactly what your brand is. And I think you're really trying to break that stereotype. I feel like, you know, like you're this kind of this or this kind of this. I think you really want to show people that there's more to us than just like what you see, like, oh, you're Bengali or American, but no, like there's more to that, you know, just from the outside.
Yeah.
And that's where your focus is.
Yeah. And I try to embody that through the team as well. So our team is based all over, and their cultural backgrounds are from all over South Asia. The guy that wrote that article is the only other guy on the team, I believe right now. And his name is Azhar, and he focuses on the fitness stuff. And you'll see other articles in there,
like, cool,
like, series and all that stuff. Yeah. And his, and he is also someone who does judo in Florida, and he's like really big. And it was very interesting just meeting him. He's like, I could be completely wrong, but I think he's an aerospace engineer, but he's also does judo. And like, and I've started to see that, just like him, like all of these South Asians that do all these interesting things also have something on the side. Or that's their side thing, right? Like during New York Fashion Week or South Asian New York Fashion Week, I met all these great models who also work at Google and other tech companies. They also do this, they also do that. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. How do you do it? But at the same time, I also, you know, I'm also working in product management, and I also do this and a few other things. So I started to realize like we all do that. And going back to your question about how do I make my loved ones happy, like my parents, that's how. Like I didn't quit anything. Like Jory is something to them. It's a hobby. Like to them, they don't even think it got to, like, they're aware kind of, but they don't really know it even got to where it is today. Like they just, to them, it's like Sami likes to meet people.
Yeah. And, like they don't know the full length of even with me, man. I mean, my cousins, my girl cousins and stuff. I mean, like, you know, they have Instagram and stuff, and they look at like what I'm doing. They're like, holy shit, you're getting all these people to come on your podcast. You're engaging with them. You're, you know, making an impact in the brown community. It's powerful stuff. But then the other day my mom saw like one of my interviews, and she was like, whoa, Beta, you're doing this is you.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like interesting to see her reaction to me, like, you know, interviewing somebody from ABC or just whatever. But no, keep doing what you're doing, man. And I think it's great to see that. How do you see the landscape of Jore magazine being a part of that change, or maybe like in the next few years, like where do you see the vision going?
So where do I see the vision going, or where do I see being part of a change? Did you have a subject to compare just in general?
Well, yeah, just in general, like where do you see the evolution of Jore? Cause, right now how many people do you have on your team? 11, you said, or
I believe 11 or 12. It could be 9 to 12. Cause we also just
9 to 12. So do you see like that group expanding? Do you see like maybe like being more like diverse? You guys maybe putting out more reels, like, you know, just in general.
So content wise, we actually got someone for our social media yesterday. I just interviewed her. She's awesome. So, there's still a few more conversations she needs to have, but I think she's great so far. She wants to create reels and diversify our content, which I think is really important. We don't really use TikTok that much. I want to grow that. Publication wise, I want to continue to grow the publication. I want it to be on fire. We have our editor in chief, who's killing it right now. And she's helping us really grow and beef up that publication side. All of our writers are fantastic. We really are growing. I think I really want to start like properly have like a compensation cycle for everyone. I really want this to be a way, awesome. Like if I can make this a full-time job for people, that'd be sick. Or even like a solid part-time job, that'd be sick. Like go for funding one day, but over the next 3 years.
Yeah, funding, go for it, yeah.
Go for it over the next 3 years and really see what I can get out of that. But the biggest focus really is proving to myself and proving to the community that we're the correct people for them to follow and for them to really use as a platform to find their cultural self. And I think that's the hardest part, where it's like, how are you or how am I going to be the person that, and there's so much imposter syndrome, right? Like, why would you trust me? Right? And that's the question I ask myself all the time. I'm like, why would this girl trust me? Why would this guy trust me? Like, who am I to tell them what to do? And it's not like I'm giving them real information that's math or whatever. I'm not telling them, like, this is what you should invest in. That's, I think, easier. Or, like, as a product manager, like, where I work, I'm like, this is what you should be. You know what I mean? Like, it's very easy compared to Joy, where it's like, I'm feeling this way. How do I change that? Or there's generational trauma here. How do I break that? You know what I mean? And there's 100 answers for that question. If you feel,
there's so many ways to cover that. Yeah. There's so many ways to cover that. And I
how
think
do you move forward from that. That's the hard part.
No, definitely. No, and I think maintaining and building a supportive network. And I think what you're trying to get at is like trying to get loyal fans, not just people who view your page and then just, you know, losing just the next day. And you want that long-term like loyalty, right?
Yeah.
And I think raising that and doing things like podcasting and going on a lot of shows, I think that'll really help. And, you know, I would love to work with you too, like when it comes to mental health stuff, posts, anything, anyone I can bring on, I think be really helpful, especially in the brown community too, because a lot of people don't like to be vulnerable. And I think that's bullshit because, you know, when you're vulnerable, you get your voice out and people actually respect you more. So I think it's good to just see that, you know, and I like how you said, like, you know, we got to make sure we got to hold the guys accountable too. Earlier you said that, right? Not only the girls, but the guys too, were just as much as wrong. Cause you know, we should be the leaders. We shouldn't be complaining like them as well. Right. We should also be providing to some form of, you know, accountability for our actions. Right. So I think that's important.
Agreed. I think it's not a gender thing. It's more, as individuals, you have to hold yourself accountable. Like Jory can't do anything for anyone that doesn't hold themselves accountable. Whether you're a girl or you're a boy, you can never be reliant on somebody to hold you accountable, but two, to help you grow. We can give you all the tools. We can give you the articles. We can throw events. We can host people. We can do podcasts like this. We can host our own podcast, and we can really get you going in terms of giving you the resources you might need, but we can never be the resource or give you the resource if you're not willing to take the time to understand and utilize the resource. And that's really where all of this comes from. So when I say hold the man accountable, absolutely. When I say hold the woman accountable, absolutely. When I say close out the echo chamber, echo chambers make you feel good, but when you go to bed at night, you're going to bed as the same fucking person. Like you didn't grow at all, right? And if you're really looking to grow and like create those solutions for yourself, take the time to actually like think about the solutions you're creating, actively create those solutions, and then use those solutions to better yourself over time. I think that's the mental health aspect that you were trying to get at earlier.
No, and it really resonates with me. I think mental health is so important because if you have a good mental health and if your wellness is good, I think you're able to provide content and work for companies like yourself, like the companies that you manage right now, and also just be a more, you know, overall like well-shaped human being, right? It goes back to being well-being. Do you have a good work-life balance? Do you have a good relationship with your spouse? Do you have good relationships with the people you work, right? And I think having that good like formula to like just every day deliver in a very, you know, positive way and, you know, holding yourself accountable, I think you're gonna, you know, flourish no matter what anyone says, you know. So I think that's cool. So, you know, I think I think, yeah, we hit a lot of points earlier today, and I feel like I learned a lot about your company too. So it'd be pretty sick to see. Do you have any advice for people too, like that are trying to start something like your company? Like, how did you get 11, 12 people? Like, that's pretty impressive. I don't think people have manpower like that, you know?
Honestly, man, like, I think it comes down to being able to motivate. I think more than anything else, whether it's a lot of people try to throw money at their problems, a lot of people try to, like, I don't know, like, they try to add value, but you can tell it's garbage. Like, people try to, like, add whatever they can to what, to, you know, whether it's manpower or trying to get help or trying to get a mentor. Or you have, like, have you? A big thing for me was, and it's, I think it's a skill set that I have, one of the few that are really good, I think, is getting people to really, like, want to do it. Like, and with Joy, it's not very difficult to get people to want it. Everyone is looking for a platform. Whether it's people that are advocating for LGBTQ rights, people that feel underrepresented, people that feel like they're not really falling under that umbrella term of being brown. Those people are the first people to show up, and they want it even more than me sometimes, right? And then you have people that really believe in your vision. And that comes down to being able to state your vision very clearly. So, like, when you asked me about what Joy was and why I did it and what I see moving forward, and I guess, like, my inspiration behind it, I didn't really have to stutter. Like, I told you what it was, and that's that.
Really appreciated that. I noticed in your tone, you were like, this is exactly why I'm saying it. It doesn't matter what my parents think, but anyone thinks, like, this is what I want, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, and I think you need to have that. If you don't have that, then people won't believe in you. And
yeah,
I mean, exactly. You won't get followers, you won't get all that stuff. But beyond that, like, you won't be able to convince yourself. Like, you have to look yourself in the mirror and be like, this is exactly what I need. And that's kind of why I go through my own page and I'm like, would I follow this as a guy? Would I follow this as Sami? Would I follow this as whatever? Would my friends follow this? Would strangers follow this? And the question sometimes, I mean, the answer to that question sometimes is no. And if it's no, then solve it. Don't be like, don't lie to yourself and say yes. Or don't say it's no and, fuck it, I give up. Like, it gets hard. Like, this idea was amazing to me. And I think it's still amazing. A lot of people think it's amazing. But it's not easy to continue this. Like, it's so hard sometimes. There are times where I got to take, like, a week off. I was just in Costa Rica taking a week off. Of Joy
and whatever. Pina coladas and shit, yeah.
Yeah, I got back from Costa Rica, worked on it. Whatever, we're working on it, we're killing it. And then, and my co-founder had to take a little break too. Totally fine, makes perfect sense. And now I'm going to Bangladesh and Vietnam for a month. And I'm still going to work on Joy, but it's not going to be as active because I'll be in places that I just won't have the internet and stuff. But it's not like it's, and then when I'm back, I'll work on it, but it's not like I don't take breaks. It's not like it's easy. Having an idea, ideas are a dime a dozen. Right? Having an idea is super easy. Everyone has an idea. Everyone has 10, right? I have 50 ideas a day, I feel like. But it's like picking the idea that you want to do, picking the idea that you're going to go with, and then staying consistent. Consistency is the hardest thing, whether you're going to the gym, whether you're going to therapy, whether you're trying to work on yourself, whether you're starting a business, whether you're going to work. Consistency is the most difficult aspect, I think, in life. And if you can stay consistent with your business, it just grows exponentially. So always go that route. That would be my advice.
No, and nowadays content is like digital currency, right? Or digital real estate, as people would call it. And somebody I used to follow years ago, her name was Jenna Marbles. Jenna Marbles, you remember her from our generation? Yeah, she's the GOAT. She's retired and she posted a video every single day of her life. And they could be anything, but she was the GOAT in my eyes. I think she was literally someone that came, took her bag, got what she needed and dipped. And I think that was the coolest thing. So I think her and then Ray William Johnson was another one too.
Ray William Johnson was fire. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, he was sick. Equals 3, baby. But No, I think that was kind of cool. And, you know, just like your message in general, man, I think it's really powerful that, you know, you focus like this. And even when you're going to Costa Rica and stuff, I think you can make your experiences and even your downtime into a content-based thing when you're like when you think from a creative standpoint, right? You can meet people, you can understand like, hey, if there's an Indian people or brown people living around here, I mean, you know, just have an experience, write down a notepad, and then just see like, maybe you could make it a story or something later, right? And I think it'll benefit somebody somewhere. And I think it'll be a really beneficial thing. How do you, so I guess now I got, I started thinking, but how do you also manage, I guess, work-life balance when it comes to burnout, right? Because we were talking about earlier, like there's times where like people can't come in, there's times where you're busy, it's hard to stay consistent. How do you avoid burnout? And like, how do you keep telling yourself like, hey, it's gonna get better?
Yeah, burnout sucks. I think burnout's the worst.
It's ass, man.
I hate burnout.
I go through it too, so.
Yeah, so the way to do it, I'm still learning how to deal with burnout. I think I faced it not too long ago, and I think it's still lingering today, even. The way I deal with burnout is prioritization. So when I feel like I'm burning out, when I feel like I'm, that fire in me is starting to really like die down a little bit, I see what I need to do. Because even with burnout, there are certain things that need to be done. I got to get my bills paid, right? So I still have to work my job, my tech job. So even if I'm burning out with everything, I need to do this, right? So like, this is something that needs to get done, non-negotiable, right? But like Jore, working with my team, non-negotiable. Going to events, negotiable. Maybe I don't have to go to so many events this month, right? I don't need to be out every Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, every Saturday and Sunday. Like, so that's a negotiable. I'll cut off an event and I'll tell people, and everyone's so understanding in the community. Like, cause again, we're so new to it. So everyone's like pretty good with it. I'm like, hey, like, I'm just tired, man. I can't do it.
Flexible, yeah.
And everyone's like, dope, right? Like, it is what it is. And then I look at, like, other side things. So I run the investment fund. I'm like, I'll talk to the other fund managers, about four of them. And I'm like, yo, bro, like, I can meet. But, like, in terms of investor meetings and stuff like that, I'm going to have to hold off for a little bit. But tell me how it goes, and I'll fill you in on... If you need advice from me, I'm always here, right? I'm also like as a fund manager, so we'll always talk. And then for my friends, I'm like, yo, bro, I'm tired as hell. Like, just like come over, let's chill, let's watch a movie, let's be cute, you know, all that stuff. But I'm not gonna go out with you tonight. I'm not going crazy. Like, I'm just like, it's been a tough week. And everyone's been super helpful there. So I think the circle that you surround yourself with and prioritization is how you deal with burnout. If you deal with people that don't really understand or people that are not like-minded, I guess going back to your business question too, if you want to start a business and be successful, be around people that also maybe doesn't want to start a business, but also want to kill it in life. Like, don't be around people that don't care, right? Like, I have friends that want to start businesses or have started businesses and they help, like, that's perfect for me. I have friends that don't want to start a business right now, but they're doing so well in their life professionally that they like respect and they get it. Like, there's nobody in my life right now that, and I don't want to say this, I don't want to sound like a dick, but there's nobody in my life right now that doesn't care or is super lazy. And I think living in New York, I live in Hell's Kitchen, living in New York makes it very easy for that. Because if you're in New York, you have to be doing something. There's no way you're bumming out in Manhattan. That's wild. Like, how do you afford to live here? Right? So when I'm like meeting all these new people, everybody kind of is on that wavelength. So that's not an issue for me to have, but say if you're in the middle of like Michigan, you're in high school, you're going to have some bummy friends. It's normal, right? Everyone's high school has some bums. Take those people out of your life. Like, it's easier said than done. They could be your boys. You grew up with them. You've known them since they were 5 years old. Your mom knows them, whatever, but you got to cut that. You got to cut that dude off or cut that girl off, because nothing will hurt you more than a close friend, right? Like, you know that saying, you're the average of your five closest friends? Like, it's very much true. Very it's not true. Just your five closest friends, it's the five people that you see the most, honestly. One of my best friends is in London, right? I can argue he's my best friend, but I don't see him that often. I think people that are not as close to me have more of an impact on me, that see me every week. So surround yourself with the right people, right? Don't surround yourself with the wrong people. And you won't face burnout, or if you do face burnout, they'll be able to help you out. It's like getting stuck in the mud. You need people to really be able to pull you out. And if they can't, then you're around the wrong people. And then that means take a step back. Take a step back, delete everything. And really, Costa Rica for me, I couldn't really. You remember how you said you could be creative in Costa Rica and whatever? I couldn't. I was like, gone. my mental was off. Like Matter in Chief, my
Oh,
coach,
gotcha.
even at MasterCard, like everyone around me was like, bro, you need to just chill out. And all my friends, everyone's like, I went to Costa Rica alone. I was gone. I was like,
Oh,
I
shit.
had my trip 4 days before. I got an ATV, went from city to city. I booked my Airbnbs on my way to the next city. Like it was to the point where
Yo, that's wild, bro. That's
I
wild.
planned nothing. I was like, what day is it today? Today's
Wild.
Tuesday. I was literally on Tuesday. I was like, I'm booking my tickets for Thursday. And then I left on Thursday. And then when I landed, I was like, I knew the first place. After that, I was like, I don't know where I'm gonna stay, but I'm gonna go see an active volcano. Drove 2.5 hours, like on Uber. I Ubered 2.5 hours to the net to a different city. And
Just like I'm gonna bounce, whatever. It
like,
is what it
I
is.
want to see a volcano. Got an Airbnb there, super dope, glamping, got a jacuzzi, everything, movie, right? And then a day and a half or 2 days after that, I was like, yo, this place is like beautiful, it's got beaches, whatever. 6 hour car ride. I just like booked a car that I learned from an Uber on my way to a restaurant. I'm like, would you drive me? He's like, I'll do it. I booked a 6 hour car with this dude all the way to the beach city, got an ATV. I booked the Airbnb like on my way there. Like when it was a 6 hour drive or 4 hour drive, like an hour left. He's like, we're gonna be in the city in an hour. Like where am I going? And I was like, I don't know yet. And I like got on my phone with limited internet, found an Airbnb, again, fire spot, booked it.
Oh
I
my
was like,
God.
go to, and I hit up the Airbnb person. I'm like, yo, what's the address? She gave me the address and I was like, this is where we're going. Like an hour out of the city. He dropped me off at the Airbnb. I got out, unpacked my bags. Like
Yo,
that.
that's wild, bro. You were just basically Airbnb hopping. Like, boom,
Yeah.
boom, boom, boom.
I needed it though. I couldn't think of
Wild.
anything else. Like I had to really just see nature, be with nature, see a bunch of weird looking animals, and like realize that like everything is stupid. Like everything that I'm working on, I don't need it. I'm doing it for a purpose, right? Like I'm doing joy to help other people for a purpose. I work my
Service
job for
focus.
a purpose. I do everything for a purpose. And I needed to see that because I forgot that. I needed to see like nothing is important. Before I started joy, when I told you I moved to Colombia, that was another time I had burnout. I was living in Medellin for just over a month. And one of my friends that's from there actually was like, bro, just get an Airbnb here, live life out here. Don't do anything else. And I went there and I did nothing else because again, that was like burnout and like I was like really worried. I needed my little eat, pray, love journey. And that's what that was. And after that, I remembered that nothing really matters. It's about your happiness and like where you want to go in life. And in the last 2 years after that trip, I forgot that because so much has been happening. I forgot what makes me happy. And after that Costa Rica trip, that 1 week, it reminded me of like what I learned that 1 month or that month, a little over a month. And I'm like, if you can't keep going, if you have to, and I don't want to have to travel like that every time to learn and remember, but it was a really good reminder of you really don't need anything that doesn't serve you, right? You don't need anything that you don't want. And that's how I move forward now.
Bro, I think it's awesome that you said that. And I think it's sick that you shared that too, because I think that's what's gonna make you a star, having the ability to like kind of take a step back. Because most people will take a step back, but they'll take a day back, they'll be home. You dipped and literally went to two different countries back to back. And you stayed in a month and what, month and a half in Colombia, which is like most
Under, it
people
was like
are not fortunate enough to even do that.
a month and a week or so.
Dude. A month and a week, and most people can't even aren't fortunate enough to even have that kind of time or money, right? Mainly the time. I feel like people have maybe the money for it, but the time is like kind of hard, right? With PTO, that's like 4 weeks. So, able to do that and just see like what you need to focus on and kind of revamp who you are as a person. I think that's really cool. And I know you're like, oh, I don't have want to have to do that, but I think that's exactly why maybe. You're able to be successful, right? Like they say Drake also takes a step back too, and he doesn't when he dropped
Yeah,
like
the
an album
comparison
this
to Drake
year.
is wild, dog. I wish I'm on Drake's level one day. I'm not.
But his practices are still the same, right? Like he likes balanced diets, he likes espressos, he likes taking a like he if you notice him, he doesn't like he's not always in the media, right? Like Kanye, all these other people are always in the media, but he always is a very private guy. And I think you being private enough to, like, you know, go on these, like, solo retreats almost, it's kind of cool, man. And I think people think that's a dope trait to have, you know, because most people are scared to also travel alone. I hope you know that. So, you know, it's cool that you're able to do that. And you don't feel lonely. I feel like, huh?
It's a beautiful thing to travel alone. It's definitely a beautiful thing to travel alone. Yeah. I push everyone to do it. Like, if you, like, I like traveling with people more. Sure. Like, if you ask me, like, would you travel alone or with somebody else or with friends? I would never travel alone. But I travel alone when I kind of just need to escape. Like, I go to places where I don't know the language and nobody can speak to me and I can't speak to anyone. Like, I can't tell you how much Google Translate saved my life, bro. In Medellin, nobody knows English. I was there for a month and a half. There were days where if I didn't talk to my parents or my family or my friends, there were days where I never said a word because I don't know any Spanish. I would type
silent.
I would type to people. Yeah, I would just type to everyone, or I would be chilling in my, like, on my balcony, or I'd be walking around the city and people would ask me questions and I don't know, like, I just don't know Spanish, and I'd be like, no, like, all the time. And I met great people, bro. That's, I met some crazy. Of the most insane people ever. I'm in a J Balvin music video, bro. Like, I met, like, I got, it went way too deep, bro. I fell in love with the culture, I fell in love with the city, but I didn't know the language, you know what I mean? And I think that's a big part. And I tell everyone that, and I had a friend in Colombia at the time, but I tell everyone that, like, if you have a friend that lives there, like, visit him and solo travel and make sure that that person knows your location so you're safe. But solo travel, man, like, you should do it too. Just go out, just do your thing.
Oh, I did it. I actually went to Yosemite for like 2 weeks in California by myself on a 53-mile hike.
Oh,
for like 3 days. So it was like the most humbling thing, and I had a Polaroid, like, mm-hmm. Logan Paul, and I started my own Polaroid channel, and, like, you know, I take pictures of people and shit, and there's this one girl on the mountain doing, like, one handstand jump ropes, like, we're on the edge of the mountain, so she could have died.
Nah.
She was doing that shit, and I was like, dude, this is the coolest, most surreal thing, but I learned so much from that trip. That's why when you said that, it resonated with me. I was like, bro, he's got something that he made, you don't want to give that up. I think it's such a... It's like most people don't even take the time to do that, I think, you know? So I think that's sick that you're able to do it. And I think Jor's going to go far, bro. Jor's going to go far, so.
Fingers crossed, man. We'll see how it goes. I think I'm still learning.
So could I ask you a few rapid-fire questions? Lighthearted ones, of course. But I got you.
As long as they're lighthearted, let's do it.
Yeah. No weird shit. Like, you know, what's your favorite position? That's kind of weird.
No, that's not.
So anyways.
Yeah,
so if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Teleportation.
Ah, I see it. We got the same superpower. Like, if you could only eat one type of food for the rest of your life, what would that food be?
What does that mean? Like, anything with cheese.
One type of food for the rest of your life. So cheese.
Anything with cheese, man.
Anything with cheese. So Sammy likes cheese. I feel like me too. Like, I'm brown, so if you could travel back in time to any era, which one would you choose and why?
Well, that's tough. I know it's rapid fire, but I don't even have an answer for that one. Do I have to be brown?
There's so many arrows, man.
Do I have to be brown?
No, you don't have to be brown. You could be like, I'm not gonna say
being brown is dangerous.
Being brown is dangerous, bro.
I feel like back when, like, this is going to sound really messed up, but, like, when you look at South Asia, like, way, like, before the British got there, I kind of just want to see what we were like. But we're the country, like, I know we're all about shame now and stuff, but we were the land of Kama Sutra. Like, we were definitely dogs. Like, we were definitely
Hukka and Kama Sutra and all that shit.
We were, like, such a fun group of people. I would love to see
Patterson back in the day.
Legit. I would love to see what we were like pre-British, like, before the British even knew about us.
Like, before Mahatma Gandhi and all that.
Like, when we had all of our gold, when we had all of our resources. I know we were tribal and we used to, like, have war and, like, fight, but
years and
I just want to be, like, I would love to see how South Asia was back then. I always get curious, like, what was it like? Because right now we're, like, colonialism really fucked us so hard that even to today we are stuck in that, like, color thing and whatever, like, skin color and all that stuff, like, colorism, racism, like, issues with ourselves, inferiority complex. Like, I'd love to see what it was like really when it was just raw, like, brown. Like, when it was
I think people were healthier, bro. If you look at, like, how people were back in the day, like, gladiators and stuff.
Yeah, they were fit as hell. They were healthy.
No protein, nothing. They didn't need shit. They were just, I don't know how the hell they were able to
They
pull it
were
off, but they were
fighting
cut.
people, bro. They were doing their thing. It was always cutting season, bro. They were on fire. I want to see that. I want to see what that looked like.
Would just not eat for days and hunt.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay, so if you could have dinner with anyone, who would it be?
With
It could be
you.
anybody you want. For me, it'd be Elon. So
Elon?
I would love to talk to Elon just to pick his brain, not from like the shit he's pulling on Twitter, but
No,
just
no.
like just a Tesla and like try to see like what crazy ideas he has planned in the future. I would love to pick his brain right
I
now.
would, yeah, that's fair. I think a big one for me, there are multiple people I want to talk to. And I'm gonna pick someone that's alive today because you did. I like that better.
Okay.
I would love to you said Elon, but for me it's more you're gonna laugh at me, but Bezos's wife. Like I wanted to know
That's an interesting one, bro.
like
That's a
I
very
want to
interesting
know
one.
like what did she, because she did a lot for Amazon, right? I want to
Yeah.
know like her perspective on everything in terms of Bezos growing the business, but also like her insight as someone who's not necessarily the person in the limelight, but like how she grew as someone who loves venture and who wants to learn more about business. Like I want to know from the ground up, from her perspective, not the perspective of the person growing it, because he's on my podcast and you can read his book or whatever if he has one. But what has she seen him do wrong that was very ego driven? What has she seen him do right? What can he be doing better? Like, because from her, I'd get the raw truth. There's no bias, right? And now they're divorced. Like, how is that? Right? Like, and if you're
And she's the
divorced, it's
richest
different.
woman in the world too. So
And she's the
like,
richest woman in the world.
she's
Like,
a billionaire and he's still a billionaire after that. Like fucking crazy.
no, they're fucking, that's wild. But yeah, like I wanna know exactly like what her perspective was on their growth and everything, right? And like why did they fail? Like there's no reason for their marriage to fail. Unless like it got fucked. So like I could learn from that too, because I wanna have a family one day. So there's a lot to talk to her about, I feel like.
Something similar like that is like Tom Brady too. I feel like Tom Brady and
I love
Giselle
Tom Brady. I love Tom
was a
Brady.
cool one too. That was like interesting to see. Like he picked football over marriage and kids, but it's
Yeah,
kind of funny too because
his wife
football is
also
like
cheated
football.
on him, right? Like at the end of the day,
Yeah.
she was like sleeping with her trainer or something for a year. Like it is what it is. He chose football over that, but we don't know what information is in there.
Yeah, we don't know the ugly truth.
I know nothing, but I will say that Tom Brady is like the greatest football player of all time. I'm a big Patriots fan. Love Tom
Oh
Brady.
yeah, I mean I'm an Eagles fan, but Tom Brady is a GOAT though. I mean it's like
Yes.
saying like Messi, right? Like you can't, I don't know. I feel like you can't compare Tom Brady to Peyton or Eli at this point. Like he's just done shit that like that's astronomically dangerous. Like
Yeah, he's
fourth
just
quarter,
transcended all
the
of that.
Brady curse, like effect. Like what the fuck? This guy comes back like. So many points, like, you know, you can,
Yeah.
you, there's no way you could come back from that, you know? So,
You can't. You brought up
what?
Messi. That's a tough
Messi
thing.
too.
But
Well,
Messi, after
Messi, I
the
think
World
discussed
Cup, now
Messi.
Messi transcend. Yeah, after the World Cup, he's pretty much closed
And
off.
it killed the discussion of Ronaldo and Messi because Messi, I mean, he closed the debate. And in the next World Cup, both of them are going to be retired. So there's no going back to that.
Yeah, and I think Ronaldo also closed it by joining Al Nassr. I think that was, why did you do that, bro? Like that broke my heart. I was like, come on, bro.
Yeah,
I don't care
it
who he's
was. It
around.
was.
You got to break that. That's sad.
It is very sad. Fucking Ronaldo. But yo, this was fun, man. I really liked everything you had to offer. And like, I want to know more about where your venture goes, like Jor. And I definitely want to work with you and collab in more ventures where it's mental health, fitness, any way I can too. Maybe I can have like some twist to something and, you know, have a voice out for the people that you support and even, you know, the women too, like feel free to have them come on too. Like I would like to see their day to day, right? Like we were talking about Jeff Bezos' wife. Let's talk about Jor Women's like employee lifestyle. Like, you know, like what they see and what they envision, you know? It's kinda cool, you know?
I would love to have, yeah, my team would love to be on. I think my co-founder would be good. My editor-in-chief would be good. My whole team overall, I think would be a solid like group to have on here. Another thing, bro, like we deal with like we have like a sex advocate too, a sex mental health, I don't know if that's the right word, but like
Sex education or a therapist or something like that?
sex therapist, I think she is. She could be
there's a like good, a show on Netflix, so
sure, but I think she'd be really good to have. She's brown too,
cool,
from New York. Yeah, I'll send you her stuff. But yeah, we should definitely connect. I would love to learn more about your podcast too, and get some more people spotlighted. Right, like you interview such interesting people. And
Jordan
loves to do a spotlight thing, so why not? Right.
Yeah, put me on, and I would love to, you know, kind of be in the media presence and stuff too, because I think that's how you also have like a name, a reputable name, and it's how you also get verified on Instagram, and you can kind of build your following that way. So I think for me, the blue check doesn't mean shit, but I also think the blue check will give me the ability to, you know, reach out to some like big guests and then have them see that, hey, he means like what he says and he's true to his word. And I just want to have that credibility. But I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, just trying to get it, like, you know, earn that shit. Like, whatever. If I get it, I get it. If I don't get it, great. But yeah, and shout out Ashe for hooking us up with this, this connection.
I didn't know he did that. He actually hit me up and he's like, yo, did one message you? And I'm like, yeah, like, did you? And he's like, yeah, I let him know about Jordan and everything. I was like, oh, yeah, so appreciate you. Yeah. Ashe's the boy.
Yeah, we should have done this for a while, but like it was just like the new year and all the festivities and just people after people. It's hard because you have to make time for people's schedules, and then stuff gets rescheduled. And if it's a big guest, you have to super prep. And then if it's a small guest, you still have to prep and understand how they are. So it comes and goes. But yo, thanks so much for coming on, bro. Appreciate
you. Absolutely, man. Thank you so much.
Talk to you later, bro. Peace. Bye.